Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
It is such a privilege to be before you tonight. Before I get started, I just want to open up with a word of prayer, if I could. God, it is such a privilege to stand before your people. God, your people tonight came hungry, needing something from you, God. So I pray that no one would leave this place today, God, without being fed, without being encouraged, without being strengthened, God. That somehow you would deposit a bit of yourself in them today, God. Anoint my lips, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to talk about faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the proof of things not seen." 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. But those who come to him must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." I want to talk about faith. I want to talk about what faith is, and I'm going to give some examples of what faith can look like in the life of a Christian. But it is my prayer today that we all, before we leave this place, will behold the true beauty of faith. That all of us will know in our hearts, without a shadow of a doubt, that faith is the irrefutable evidence, the undeniable evidence of the glory of God. But before I get started about talking about what faith is, I want to take just a second to talk about what faith is not. Faith is not a tool to help us get everything in our lives and in the lives of others in line with the way that we think it should be or the way that we want it to be. Nor is faith a means to produce physical, tangible, visual evidence for the reason as to why we believe that there is a God. See, faith is not about producing evidence at all. Faith is evidence. See, the beauty of faith is that it is the evidence when there are no signs, when there is no visible, tangible reason as to why we should have hope. See, it is as we rest our hope completely upon God, when we cannot see him, when we cannot feel him, when it doesn't appear that there's any sign or evidence of his hand in our life, that the Bible says that we are testifying, that faith is bearing witness, that it is the irrefutable evidence of the glory of God. See, it's not the things that are seen that are meant to be the evidence of faith. Faith is to be the evidence of the things we cannot see. Peter speaks of faith like this, 1 Peter 1:6-9. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Listen to this. "Whom having not seen, you love. Though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, when I think back in my life as to when was the first time that I saw this kind of faith, that I saw this irrefutable evidence of the glory of God, it was when I was a teenager. It was the summer in my two brothers and I, Dan and Dale, 15 and 17 at the time, the three of us would go to work at our father's business. In this particular summer day, the three of us, as tired from another long day, got in the car to drive home. And as we drove down that country road to reach the two-lane highway to turn right, for whatever reason, my brother was blinded to the semi truck that was barreling down on us from the other direction. The semi truck didn't even have a chance to hit the brakes before it ran into the back of our 69 Camaro. The last thing I can remember was looking up and seeing the terror on my brother's face as we were pushed over into the other oncoming lane and another semi truck hit us head on. I can't go into all the details of that accident, but my two brothers did not survive. And by a miracle, I was spared, and yet I spent 6 agonizing weeks in a hospital in traction. Both my parents were Christians. From a very early age, I could remember them testifying of their faith, whether it was at church or whether it was on the street or whether it was in business, it didn't matter. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I knew my parents weren't perfect, but they seemed to be doing everything that a Christian was supposed to do. Now, I don't know the expectation that they had for their sons' lives, but I am sure that the terror that they were about to experience was not it. See, it's hard for me to fathom my father sitting there at his desk as someone ran into his office and said, "There's been a terrible accident down the road, and I think it's your child's son that is involved." To drive that half mile down the road, to come upon firsthand, to live in real time, every parent's worst nightmare times 3. Or to be my mom who got the phone call and said, "One of your sons is dead. There's been a terrible accident. The other has been airlifted to the hospital." And she gets in the car and she drives and gets to the hospital just in time to see him pass away. From there, she drives to the intensive care unit to meet my father as I get up out of surgery so that she can share with me that my two brothers and my two best friends are no longer with us. I can't imagine a more dark moment. I can't imagine a time when you would feel more like climbing into the corner and questioning everything you believe about a loving and caring God. But as my parents drove home to the house, tired, exhausted, mentally and physically, I'm sure beyond imagination, as they pulled up to the house, there was gathered a large group of teenagers. Whether they were there to be comforted or to give comfort, or maybe they just wanted someone to be able to help them make sense out of what seemed like a needless tragedy. But putting aside my parents' own burdens and cares, they stopped and they ministered to these teenagers. They prayed with them. They comforted them, they cried with them, and most of all, they shared with them that this was not the end of the story. That there is a faith in a God that brings an eternal hope, A hope that goes beyond the grave, and that if they would accept this Jesus, they could see my brothers again. This would not be the end of the story. But it went even farther than that. They spent the following days, every opportunity to give a chance to testify of the eternal hope that was in Jesus Christ. And so much so that they, at the funeral, they made every opportunity that, above all else, the gospel was presented. And because the gospel was presented, dozens of teenagers who may not ever have darkened the doors of a church came to faith in Jesus Christ and found this eternal hope for themselves. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, it was all because two people had the faith to look beyond what they could see to an eternal hope that they could not see. And they provided undeniable, irrefutable evidence to a whole city that there was a God who had power even over death. I want to take a minute to talk about the true reward of faith. The true reward of faith. See, I think it's possible to look at some of the heroes of the Bible and still somehow miss the whole point of the story. For example, you look at the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whose faith in the one true God and their unwillingness to bow to any other God but Him caused them to be thrown into the furnace of fire. Now we know the end of the story, that God miraculously delivered them and showed King Nebuchadnezzar what's up. But if we're not careful, we can miss. And we can misinterpret that their outcome, the deliverance from the fire, was the reward of their faith. See, we know from their own testimony that deliverance from the fire was not the object of their faith. Their testimony was this: if it be so. In other words, if it is God's plan, He can deliver us from this flaming fire. If it is God's plan. But see, their faith was not in what the plan was. Their faith was in the one who had the plan. And that whatever His plan was, He had the wisdom and the power to make it abound to His glory. See, so what was the reward of their faith? It's the same reward for faith that we can anticipate. And that is God Himself. His presence. The reward of their faith was that there was going to be another one in the fire. See, whether Nebuchadnezzar and the others were actually able to see Jesus, that they were able to see the other in the fire, there was going to be one. See, the reward of faith is always God Himself, not the outcome. See, what's important for us today to realize, it's the same for us. That the reward of our faith is not the outcome. Our faith is not in the plan. It is not in what it's going to look like. Our faith is that whatever it is, we believe that there is a God who has the power and the wisdom to work all things together for good for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. See, we should never confuse God's plan and His purpose with His reward. See, because if you look at Hebrews 11, In the testimony of the heroes of faith, you'll see this, that for every deliverance, for every healing, for every mighty victory, there were also just as many that it says in Hebrews chapter 11, 35 through 39, that they refused deliverance for a greater resurrection. They had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, of whom the world was not worthy. But listen to what it says. These all had a good testimony of faith. I tell you, I have had seasons in my life where I have been walking in faith, where I have been in the Word, where I have been in ministry, and it seemed as if everything that I touched turned to gold. That whatever I did prospered, that hardly a week would go by that I didn't see some evidence of the hand of God miraculously working in my life. But just as true is this, there have been seasons in my life when I have been in faith, been in the Word, been in ministry, when everything I touched seemed to turn to dust. I tell you the truth, there have been times when in my mind I've thought about the odds and said, percentages simply don't allow for a string of luck this bad. Times when no matter what I did, God seemed like He was a million miles away. And I used to think, well, those were the time when my faith was weak. But I have come to understand that it is the times when we see nothing, when we feel nothing, when it seems that we understand nothing, that faith shines the brightest, that it testifies the loudest. I want to bring this a little bit closer to home for a minute. Some of you may be aware that Susan and I, a while back, adopted three siblings after their mom had died from cancer. Sylvia, and this is a God story in itself, but I don't have the time to go all into it. It'll have to be another day. But Sylvia, their mother, was a woman that we met doing inner city work when we were in Peoria. And one of the, call it ironies or call it one of the mysteries of God, this woman who had the most unbelievable, painful life that you could ever imagine, came to know Jesus, came to know from her own lips, the testimony was this, that I've learned to know the love of the Father for the first time in my life. This was shortly before she realized she had terminal cancer. But today she's in heaven. Today she has an eternal hope. We don't look at what we see. We don't ask the questions. But I digress, because the three children, Michael, Cassie, and Rachel, were 3, 5, and 12 at the time. Michael was the five-year-old, our five-year-old son. Well, when Michael turned 9, we were on vacation, and we noticed as we were swimming, he had a large lump in his throat. And, of course, we were concerned and took him to the doctor immediately when we got back. And originally they said, well, it's just a swollen lymph node, but it was quickly identified that no, this was the same horrendous cancer that had killed his mother a few years earlier. Of course, the first thing we did was pray, but then we began to look at what are the best options to try to take care of Michael, and so we ended up going to St. Jude Medical Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. And there we, after a few tests, it was diagnosed right away that he needed to have surgery. So Michael goes into surgery. We think and we believe that this is the beginning of the end of his cancer, that there's going to, our hope and our expectation is that he's going to be fine. So I go on back to Illinois to try to manage the household, which we know I can't do, while Susan stayed back with Michael. But shortly after the surgery and after I had left, the doctors came in to Susan with the worst of news. They looked at her and they said, well, we took out the thyroid, we tried to get everything out of his chest, but it's too late. It had already spread all through his chest and through his lungs. The cancer is inoperable and it is terminal. There's nothing we can do. We would estimate that he has 2 years to live. This was their advice to us. Take him home and just try to give him the best, most comfortable life you can for the next 2 years, but there's nothing that anyone can do. Susan, of course, shaken to her core, knew she had to get out of there and try to find some hope somewhere, and she wasn't going to find it there. So she asked the nurses if they would stay with Michael while she took a few minutes. So Susan, being the woman of faith that she is, having leaned upon her faith her entire life, goes to the car, and instead of getting angry and frustrated, she turns her heart to God in worship. She turns on the music and the praise music and begins to worship God, and the whole time her heart is broken. It's crushed beyond anything that we can understand that only a mother would know. But all of a sudden, as she was worshiping, that faith rose up inside of her. And through the pain, through the tears, she shouted at the top of her lungs, God, I don't know what you have for Michael. I don't know what you have for my family. But this is what I know. Whatever it is, God, I love you, I praise you, and I trust you. And she will testify to you that it was as if heaven broke. And the presence of God flooded that car. She would tell you there was no promise of healing. There was no great proclamation of faith, so to speak, that she made. But what she did know is that there was another in the fire. That she was not, whatever it is that was going to happen, whatever we were going to go through, wasn't going to be alone. That she had the reward of faith, God with us. It would take a whole nother hour to talk of all the journey of the next couple years. But let me say this. That 9-year-old boy that they said had 2 years to live is now a thriving 20-year-old man. And this isn't a plug, but if you were to go to Northlake Mall to No Grease Barbershop and sit down in his chair, it is very likely that you would have to sit there and hear him testify about the grace of God in his life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When things look the darkest, faith shines the brightest. See, faith isn't subject, isn't validated by what we see. What is unseen is validated or proven to be reality by our faith. The last part of faith that I want to talk about is this. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Walking in faith is not only what we believe about God. Walking in faith is also about what we believe about what we do for God. What we do for God. See, one aspect of faith that is very, very important is we need to have an unwavering conviction that what we do for God matters. And it is worth it. See, the world will tell you this. If you can't see it, if you can't see the reward, if you can't measure it, if you can't quantify it, if you can't qualify it, then it doesn't really matter. Faith will preach a whole nother story. Faith will tell you that any act of obedience in faith to God, whether you can measure it or whether you can't measure it, matters. Everything we do for God matters. See, this is what walking by sight means or looks like. Every decision we make basically comes down to one question. Will it pay off? It says, walking by sight says, what is going to be the quickest, most visible, tangible return on my mental, physical, financial investment? And if I can't see it, I don't want it. Faith says a completely different thing. Faith only says this: is it what God would have me to do? See, one thing we must settle in our hearts if we are to walk by faith is this, that there are going to be decisions that we make that absolutely will not have a payoff this side of heaven. Or at least the cost will definitely not be equal to what we see in results. See, I can tell you if you choose to walk by faith, there are going to be times that God is going to call you to pour out your life, to serve others in a way that is way beyond the reward that you're going to get. And a matter of fact, there's times you're going to lay down your life, and when you have given the last bit of anything that you have to give, your sacrifice is trampled on and walked over. There are going to be times when the world's going to look at the sacrifices you're making, the things that you're doing, and they're going to say, you're a fool. It's wasted. But faith says this: do not grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you do not faint. Faith will always say nothing is wasted. See, we need to realize this, if we're going to walk by faith, that it is not just about the here and now. It is not just about this life. There is always an eternal weight of glory with everything that God calls us to do. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It is the things that we do that seem to go unnoticed, that seem to be underappreciated, that one day in eternity we will look back and we will see that those were the best investments we ever made. But I also want to do this, and I want to tear down a lie from the enemy, that there are things here that God asks us to do that don't really matter on earth, that they're insignificant. That is a lie. God does never, will never ask you to do anything that does not have both an earthly and a heavenly significance, regardless of whether we see it or not. No matter how small it may appear, God has a purpose in it. God does not have us waste our life. Do not ever listen to that lie. It may seem insignificant to you, but if God asks you to do it, it has purpose. Much more than we may ever see or ever know. See, I want to encourage you to do today that what you do matters. Every prayer that you pray, every sacrifice you make, every minute you serve, every time you make a choice to go God's way instead of yours, it matters. And it has profound effects both on heaven and on earth, both now and in eternity. I want to close with this. Jesus made an incredible statement in Luke 18 in regards to faith. He's talking about prayer specifically and about continuing to pray and to never lose hope. And in this story, it's the story of the widow who comes to the ruler and is wanting justice. She can't get justice. And she keeps coming to the ruler over and over. And finally the ruler says, I don't really care about this lady at all, but she's going to drive me nuts, so I'm going to give her what she wants. But then Jesus says this. He says, if this is how the wicked ruler acts, will not your Father in heaven bring justice? But the word really is vindication. Will not your Father prove to be right his children who call to him day and night? See, what he's saying is that there are times in this life that you are going to walk by faith and everything's going to say you're wrong. That it's not the right choice. That it's not paying off. And there's going to be times when you're there and you're saying, God, how long do I continue to do what you ask me to do, to walk by faith, but I don't see the fruit? But God says, your Father in heaven will one day make it right. There will be justice. That there is nothing that you've done that you will ever not be receive a reward far greater than anything that you ever put out. Faith will always be the right choice. See, God wants you to know that there are times in this world that you have faith in God and you'll look up at the earthly scoreboard, and if you're judging by that, you're going to say, this doesn't make sense. We are way, way behind. But this is what faith says. If that's the scoreboard you're seeing, you are simply just looking at the wrong scoreboard. That there's a completely different scoreboard, and God says that he will vindicate. He will bring justice to his children. If the band wants to come up, Jesus closes this story saying this. He says, but will the Son of Man, when he comes, find faith on the earth? Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? See, and I believe that that is a word to this generation, and I believe it's a word to this church right now. See, there more and more, I believe that the church is going to be looked at and it's going to be seen. Is it somebody who really believes, regardless of what's going on, Or will you fall away when it isn't, things aren't going the way that we think that they should go? See, Jesus wants a generation that will be able to say yes and amen. Will you find faith on the earth when you come? Yes and amen. In this church, in Vision Church, yes and amen. We will find, he will find faith here. Can I get an amen? Before the service, we were talking, and we were talking about how the fact that even faith, though, is a gift. That God in his sovereignty can give faith. Because I'm sure there are times in your life and in times like there is in mine when I look and I say, God, I just don't have the faith. I can't make sense of it all. I don't know if I can make another step forward without you intervening, without you making a deposit in me that I don't have. And what I want to believe for Vision Church right now is that we will open our hearts to receive tonight the gift of faith. That we may be challenged by these stories, we may be challenged by the heroes of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and say, I don't know that that's in me. But if you will open your heart tonight, I believe God wants to make a deposit in you. So that's how we're going to close. If the prayer team would come up, anybody here tonight who wants that deposit in their heart, who wants tonight to receive a deposit of faith, a faith that is irrefutable evidence of the glory of God, that you can stand no matter how dark, that you can believe no matter what you see, then would you come forward and receive prayer? Amen.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.